The Echo Chamber escape hatch is open. Give us 22 minutes and we'll give you a fresh perspective. It's the Kelly Nash Podcast.
The Echo Chamber is closed. All right, so what is the Echo Chamber? For those of you new to the Kelly Nash Podcast, the Echo Chamber is what you hear on all the radio talk shows, what you hear everywhere. And it doesn't matter which side of the political or even Christian or whatever aisle you're on. It seems like groupthink is the way to go. You have been blessed with a free mind. God created you uniquely to think your thoughts and come up with your solutions. We're going to have some fun with that hopefully today. And, you know, I'll give you my perspective, and then you can give me your perspective as well. But before we get started, the Kelly Nash Podcast, sponsored by New American Insurance. At New American, they understand that competition always benefits an educated consumer. You tell them what kind of insurance you need, whether it's home, car, whatever. They'll go shop the top deals, and then they'll come back with the best deals for you. Log on now to newamericaninsurance.net.
All right. We're back. Hi there. Kelly Nash with about 20 minutes or so of discussion on a very sensitive topic. I feel like the old, you know, like the happy days. Like happy days, always fun and happy and days. And then all of a sudden, a very sensitive happy days. But we're going to try to address the subject like we do with all subjects. With intelligence, sensitivity, and some humor. All right. Those are the three things. All right. And by the way, if you're a first time guest here, thank you for tuning in. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel. And also, this is just like kind of a general disclaimer. Again, this is for Christians. Now, when I say that, some people become offended. If you're not a Christian, please watch it. I'd love for you to watch it. And I hope that you know, perhaps you'll be attracted to some of the stuff we're discussing, but also recognize that some of this stuff may not make any sense to you if you don't really have a Christian lifestyle going on. If you're not having a relationship with the Lord as we speak, this may be a bit too much for you to really wrap your brain around right now. Because and I say that not in a condescending way at all, because I was not a Christian until I was 36 years old. I did go to church, but I didn't become a Christian until I was 36. So the before and after of my thought patterns, you know, well, like the Lord said, you know, from the east to the west, that's how far they were separated. So today we're going to talk about white guilt. And what do you do with that if you're a Christian? And especially if you're in a position where I think most Christians are, where they want to be multiracial. We recognize as Christians that everyone has been designed by God, uniquely designed. No two are the same. Never mind no two races. No two are the same. Each one of us has our own unique individual flares and qualities and things that make us special. Those are gifts from God, as are your race. Your race is something that makes you unique and different. And because of that, you also have different experiences in life. You have different ways of perceiving things. Some of us are more analytical. Some of us are more creative. There's all kinds of things. And that's not a race thing. That's just a human thing. But race is certainly a part of it. I should also mention, by the way, that if you would like to comment, and I am horrible at doing that. Let me just click this thing and say, if you'd like to comment, you can go ahead and comment. There's a thing on the side where you can go ahead and comment, whether you're watching on Facebook, Twitter, or the YouTube channel. All the comments will eventually pop up to me. And so I would love to hear from you. And if possible, I will read yours on the air. So with that in mind, let's just kind of get into it. So white guilt. All right. First off, like most things that are let me rephrase it. You know what? Let me even start by saying a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this platform. And thank you for the people who are watching, whether they're watching live or if they're going to get this later audio-wise on the podcast or if they're going to see the video later. Please help me to say the words that I'm going to say in love. Please help them to be received in a way that are in the light they were intended, not to cause controversy and division, but to unite people. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so with that in mind, white guilt is one of those things that is a lie of the enemy. Now, when I say that, what does that mean? Well, it means, like anything else in life, whether it's the very first sin, did God really say you couldn't eat from any of the trees? That was a lie. He knew it had been said. He also lied about other things. He takes truth and he manipulates it and turns it into something that is quite ugly. So if you were to believe what the current mood of the media is, it would be that we are a systematically racist country designed, almost specifically designed, to oppress blacks, it would seem. Not even just minorities, but blacks have been targeted. The country itself was built by almost exclusively with slave labor. And because of that, there should be a tremendous amount of white guilt, which would then force reparations, whether it's just, you know, monetary, or there'd be special privileges given to people of the black race here in the United States. So then if you're just being honest, like if somebody just presented that argument to you, one of the first things you should do is, well, let's take a look at the facts. I mean, what does it look like in America to be black? So just statistically, this has nothing to do with your experiences as a black person. But if you were to say that, like, a few years ago, the claim was, and I guess they're still continuing to claim, the Black Lives Matter movement, is that blacks are being targeted for death by the police. Well, in let's just look at the last 4 years, starting in 2017, 457 whites were killed by police, 223 blacks, 399 in 2018 whites, 209 black. 370 in 2019 white, 235 black, 432 in 2020, 226 black. In other words, every year more white people are killed by police than are killed by blacks. Now, some may want to get into the, yeah, but you know, if you're talking about percentages and stuff, if you're talking about percentages, that's not a game you really want to play with, because there's 330 million Americans. If you're talking about 33,000 Americans, you're talking about 0.1. Hey, you're talking fractions of fractions of fractions. So when you're talking about 500 people, which no race had killed any year, you're talking about such a minuscule percentage of the population that clearly when they say the majority of cops are good, that would be true. That would be true. Also, how many of these people that were killed, whether they're white or black, were actually armed and threatening the police? It seems that in most of these cases, well over 90%, that was proven. So now we're talking about single digits. So again, not a system set up here by the police targeting young black men for death. We just disproved it. Now, if you're blinded by the enemy, you're not going to hear that. You're just going to say that they're, you know what, I don't even understand it, to be honest with you, because when I was blinded by the enemy, I couldn't believe in certain truth. And now that I'm on the other side of it, I don't understand how I couldn't see certain truths. It's as plain as the data in front of you, and yet you call it a lie. My boss used to say, the writing on the wall, you're calling it a forgery. You can look at poverty rates here in the United States. Poverty rates for whites have always been, since they started keeping records in the 50s, between 5 and 10%. It varies yearly. When they first started, for blacks, it was a horrific 55% back in the mid-50s. That's dropped all the way down to 18% now. Not as good as whites, but a tremendous decline through the years. By the way, Hispanics in 1970s, they started keeping records for Hispanics, 22%. Then they're only down to 15% now. So they're doing about as well as the black race. But as far as the percentage of drop off, blacks have made far more improvements than Hispanics through the years. Asians are now below whites when it comes to, they had started at 18% in the mid 80s and now we're down to 7%. So the Asians are actually the ones doing the best. And to back that up, when you look at the median income in America, 45,000 dollars is the median black income. Hispanics are at 56,000, whites at 76,000, Asians at 98,000. They're almost at 100,000. Pardon me, had to take a little sip of water here. So again, if you're just looking at statistics, we're not seeing anything that would indicate what the claim has been. So it's not true, is what I'm saying. America is not designed to oppress anybody. As a matter of fact, America is the land of the free, the home of the brave, and the place that most people want to come in order to gain wealth, gain privilege. Now, if you want to talk about privilege, and that's another phrase that's been thrown around, white privilege, it's actually American privilege. Americans have an unbelievable amount of privilege simply by being born here. And if you just look at the economy around the world, 43% of the world, that's not quite half, but it's pretty close. 43% of the world lives on less than $5.50 a day right now. Wow. 43% of the world. Now, that's coming to us from the World Bank, who gives us that statistic. We have an unbelievable advantage over a lot of, now we're not the richest country. We're actually the world's largest debtor nation. But as far as our personal incomes, we're not even the richest, but we're, I think, number six in the world. There's some like Norway and Denmark and some other countries are doing better than us. If you look at our income, like I said, we are somewhere around number six in the country, in the world. UK, we make about $43,000 annually on average in America. UK, it's down to $31,000. So you can see we have a huge advantage, privilege over what's going on in the UK. Greece only makes $17,000. By the way, the median in the world is about $10,000 annually. There is a bunch of countries like Chile and a bunch of countries that you've probably wouldn't think of as second-class countries that are making a lot less than, say, 15 grand a year. Like I said, Greece is at 17 grand a year. So we have a huge privilege as Americans. Now, should we feel bad about it? Because I guess that's where we're going with this, right? Is the fact that you have privilege something that you should be ashamed of? Should we as Americans be trying to, I don't know, reach out to Greece and say to the Greeks, you've had some sort of horrible time, and was it caused by us? Are we guilty for that? Should we somehow? But no, of course we haven't done anything like that. We don't feel bad for Greece. We don't feel bad for Chile. Now, we might help certain countries when they come across hard times, but that's not it's not a guilt thing. It's a desire to do good thing. There's a difference. What's your motivation in life? Means a lot. Where's it coming from? Ultimately, when you start looking at, are you motivated by guilt? Then that would be a bad thing. The only one who can condemn a Christian, the only one, is God the Father. You can't be condemned by another man. Now, you may be condemned for a crime and go to prison. Sure. You may be condemned by a teacher and, you know, condemned to extra homework or staying late after class or something to that extent. But as far as the feeling of guilt, if you read Old Testament or New Testament, pick your flavor. Old Testament, Isaiah 6:7. Behold, your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. Are you guilty? Yeah, you're guilty of a lot of stuff. We're all guilty. Every human being is guilty of a bunch of stuff. Should you feel guilty? No, you should not. God doesn't want you feeling guilty. I promised you a New Testament. I'll just throw you one of the many. Romans 8:1, no condemnation for those in Christ. So even if it was true that that you lived in a nation that was set up to oppress a certain race, you should not feel guilty unless your father tells you to feel guilty. So don't sweat it. Now, should you do stuff to help black people? I guess that's the big question that you're probably asking yourself. By the way, I just one of the quote unquote privileges, you know, when we talk about a nation where it's set up to oppress people, there's 15 black billionaires in the world. 8 of them are from the United States. 8, more than half are from the United States. And they're all self-made. Some of them, you know, Tyler Perry, Oprah, Michael Jordan, Kanye West. There's a couple in there you might not know. Robert F. Smith, David Stewart, Alex Karp. They're all business people. Actually, they're all business people, right? Michael Jordan's he didn't become a billionaire just because he was a great basketball player. Kanye West didn't become a billionaire because he's a great rapper. They became billionaires because they're great business people. But then you just look at a step below that, millionaires, something that maybe a lot of us hope to attain to. I know I would love to be a millionaire someday. In America, we have 11.8 million millionaire households. You understand what I'm saying? 11. So the people who have $1 million net worth or more, there's 11.8 million of us in the country. About 1 million of them are black. About 1 million. Of them are black. And if you look at the net worth of blacks in America, it's greater than the GDP of Jamaica and about 70 other countries. So again, there's a lot of black wealth in America. Now, how do we do this? How do we as white people or Latin people, because again, I guess they're The cry is that blacks have been oppressed in America, not Asians, obviously not Asians. They're doing awesome. Hispanics are doing very well. Blacks are doing much better now than 15, 20 years ago and far better than they were in the pre-civil rights movement. So what do you do with that? Well, I guess if you're hearing somebody, basically say that you owe money, or you owe something. For example, what's this woman's name? Robin DiAngelo. White Fragility is the book. The headline this morning that I was reading was Coca-Cola faces backlash over seminar asking Coca-Cola staff to be less white. This is the training that Robin DiAngelo, the author of White Fragility, is training Coke employees to be less white. And by that, she means, who knows what she really means. I mean, I've read it. It doesn't make any sense at all. And for her to say it's not racist, it's actually the definition of racist. So when you hear that, you should be less white, or you should be, more giving to blacks or whatever. Recognize what it is. It's a sinner operating in sin. Somebody who's telling you that, I'm not angry at sinners when they sin. I'm not, sometimes I'm frustrated, but I'm not angry at them because that's where they're not operating under the Lord's power at that point. They're operating under their own power and they're born into sin. So they're lashing out with a lie, trying to get something from you. I loved watching this Vice video, and I'll probably put a link to it on my social media pages later. Vice is a TV show that this was a 2017 video, and there was a couple of women in North Dakota who were responding to the Donald Trump election. And they said that, and these are two black women, and they said, we noticed there was a lot of white guilt. And so we set out to profit off of it, and they show them they had like a box service where they were mailing safety pins And the white people would buy them. And if you wore the safety pin, it showed that you were a safe white person, that you didn't oppress people, and that you were also supporting a black business. The black business was mailing you safety pins at $100 a month. And she said, listen, if white people feel guilty, I'm going to make some money off of it. That is where she was. And, you know, I guess you can't blame her, right? Pardon me. Another beverage break. All right. So we need a mute button here. That's what we desperately, a cough button is what they call it in the industry, a mute button. We need something like that so you don't have to hear me slurp water. Yeah, that's what people with sin are going to do. They're going to manipulate you to take your money. And that's all she wanted was your money. She wasn't, you know, she recognized the reality of the situation and she was hoping to buy a new car. That's what she wanted was a new car. And I'm guessing she probably got it. I mean, they interviewed some professor from Park Slope, which is a well-to-do section in New York. And she was, I feel better when I give money to the blacks because I know that we've oppressed them for too long. How did you oppress them? What did you do? Exactly. So recognize the situation and then pray for them. Pray for the people who are trying to get you to give them money or just shame you or whatever, because they're in bondage. They need your help. They don't necessarily need your money. They may need your money. They may be homeless or something like that, and they may need some help that way. And I always suggest that you give the money to the actual group that's going to take care of them. Don't give it directly to a homeless person because they've kind of demonstrated already that they're not in a position to handle finances. Let somebody who knows how to handle finances and also can counsel them and hopefully get them back on their feet do it that way. But anyway, they may need your money, but they certainly desperately need your prayers, as do so many other people right now. We all need to be praying for the lost of the world. And there are billions and billions of lost people living currently on planet Earth. So continue praying. Thank you for watching. If you know a Christian who's struggling with white guilt or whatever, hopefully you'll share this video with them. And I appreciate you spending some time with me tonight. Hey, Jonathan Reynolds, good to see you right before I ended the show. Thanks for checking in, my man.